So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 17, text 223 to 229. So the chapter is entitled Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. So I'll read the first few verses and then text 29, 229 is on the board, so we'll recite that together. So I'll read the translation in English for each of the verses. Translation. Hearing this, the Lord got up, chanting Hari Hari. Following him, all the other Vaishnavas also got up, chanting the vibration of the holy name. So this is taking place just after the conversation with Chand Kazi. It's interesting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is standing up or concluding his conversations by chanting Hari Hari, right? And devotees also chanting the holy names of the Lord. So maybe something for us, I try to do sometimes, is coughing, sneezing, standing up, sitting down, right? Trying to remember the Supreme Lord, calling out the holy names of the Lord. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Hari Hari. Some of you are shy in terms of saying Hari Hari. All right, great, thank you. Text 24, translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to perform kirtan, and the Qazi, his mind jubilant, went with him. Text 225. The Lord asked the Qazi to go back home. Then the son of Mother Sachi came back to his own home, dancing and dancing. Text 226. Translation. This is the incident concerning the Qazi and Lord's mercy upon him. Anyone who hears this is also freed from all offenses. Okay, so this is the phala stuti, or the results, or the benedictions or blessings of hearing these pastimes, involving ourselves in these pastimes. So does anyone feel freed from all offenses? Okay. Maybe temporarily you felt freed from all offenses, but maybe again the offenses started. So in the nectar of devotion, there is a lot of items that are mentioned there. That if you do these items in this way, right, of the 64 items, especially the first few items, right, maybe even the first three quarters of the 64 items, Srila Prabhupada speaks a lot about the benefits of executing these activities, right? For example, one of them is, if one circumambulates the temple or the deities, then one's circumambulation of birth and death ends. Basically, one goes back to Godhead, right? Just by circumambulating the deity or the temple. Here, he said, by hearing these pastimes, or anyone who hears these pastimes, incident between Qazi and Lord Chaitanya, the conversation, then one is freed from all offenses. So how do we understand this if we're not experiencing that? Right? We're not experiencing that freedom from offenses. So one could be that maybe there's temporary relief of offenses, but then we're continuing to offend even more. We're kind of committing new offenses, and therefore, you know, with those offenses we're creating more and more and more like that. So we fill again very soon. We are filled up with offenses. One devotee was saying, when one chants Hare Krishna, you know, and then there's that moment of attentiveness, then at that time, we've actually become purified. We've become free from offenses. But then we become proud again. Right? We become proud that, oh, I'm chanting attentively. Right? Are the others, other devotees chanting attentively? Oh, look at them, look at her, look at him. They're falling asleep. I'm chanting attentively. I'm quite fixed up. It must be because, I've been practicing for quite some time. And now Krishna is really reciprocating with me. Right? Maybe many years because I'm in the ashram, in the brahmacharya ashram, or I'm in the grihastha ashram. And with all the obstacles, all the challenges, right, I was still continuing with my devotional service, intense. Therefore, now I'm chanting attentively. The other devotees, they still got some time to go. Maybe many more years to catch up with me. So, maybe that's what happens for most of us. That there is a moment of attention, Krishna gives his mercy, but then we become proud again, and we become offensive. That as a result of pride, there's offenses like that. But here, so that could be one reason, but then there's a problem with that reason, because here it says one becomes freed from all offenses. So then one can take it as that permanently all offenses are removed. Right? Completely, absolutely. So then we can kind of look a little bit more deeply and look at what happens or how one comes to this point of being freed from all offenses. So hearing, we were speaking about it in one of the sessions just last week in Bhakti Vaibhav, that what does it mean hearing and chanting? What does it mean really to hear and chant? So we chant with our tongue, we hear with our ears. But these are just instruments. These are just instruments. So who's supposed to be hearing and who's supposed to be chanting? Right. So it's us, the spirit soul. We're meant to hear. That means we're meant to accept these pastimes to the core of our heart. We're meant to receive these pastimes to the core of our heart. Beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, beyond the senses. That acceptance, that reception, right, to the core of heart, that is hearing. That is hearing. So when we are, last few weeks we've been hearing these pastimes, this conversation between Chand Kazi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were we hearing to the core of our heart? Were we receiving those pastimes in our heart? Were we accepting those pastimes in our heart? In terms of chanting, is it just about making the sound vibration, moving our tongue, making our mouth go up and down, moving our lips? Right? Is this what chanting is about? Because we have many other devotees, because of various disabilities, they can't chant or they can't hear properly. Right? So chanting is actually something much more deeper. You're really calling out to Krishna from the core of your heart. Please, Krishna, engage me in your service. This body, this material world, the situation I'm in is such a sorry state. Yet I'm thinking, everything is fine here. Everything is comfortable here. I'm happy here. Or I'll be happy very soon in the future when I retire, when I worked hard, right? And collect, kind of save some money. Or I've done a lot of service, and then later on I can just relax, like that. I won't need to do physical service. I'll just keep my life simple. I won't get involved in management, this, that, whatever. Right? I'll just keep it simple. So if I'm happy in this situation, I'm kind of content in this situation. And if not, very soon in the future, because by my intelligence, by my various schemes and strategies, I will become happy. I'll be satisfied. Right? So are we really calling out to Krishna when we're chanting? Or is it just a matter of movement of our mouth, our tongue, our lips? So are we calling out, really? And are we really accepting, receiving, right, hearing? Have we heard these pastimes? Have we accepted these pastimes? And in accepting these pastimes, are we really calling out? And are we being the instrument of receiving mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Lord Krishna? So if we received it well and we have taken shelter of the Lord, we're really calling out to the Lord, then maybe, or it seems like definitely, anyone who hears this is also freed from all offenses. Not just sins, not for sinful reactions. Here he's talking about offenses. There are many things that we take up in devotional service that are mentioned in the items of 64 items of devotional service, that if you do this, then you become free from sin or you attain liberation. Right? But here specifically, we become free from offenses when we hear such pastimes. And specifically this pastime, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that one becomes freed from offenses. Right, all offenses, not just offenses onto the holy name, right? Not just the offenses onto the deities, not just offenses onto the holy dham, but it seems like because it says all the offenses, that includes also Vaishnava aparadh, Guru aparadh. One becomes freed from all offenses. If one sincerely receives these pastimes, accepts these pastimes, and one takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one takes shelter of Krishna. So these are some kind of thoughts I had on this particular verse, because it says all offenses, not just sins, right, or misgivings, but all offenses. This is the power of these pastimes. This is the power of hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his various interactions and his various dealings. This is the potential that's there. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not trying to cheat us. Right? There's nothing for him. He's 96 years old. Right? It's not that he wants some, you know, kind of position, people to glorify him because he's compiled the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he wants that people again and again read his Chaitanya Charitamrita. As you get older and older, you don't become so concerned about what others think of you. You don't become so concerned about your position. Right, so here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is 96 years old. And he's even very reluctant to write, compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he says, because the Vaishnavas are so adamant, they're requesting me. Right? Therefore, I'm going to try to do something. And he really takes shelter of Nityananda Prabhu and begins to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. May it be pleasing to the devotees. May it be pleasing to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, all the saintly personalities, like this. So for our pleasure, for our benefit, there's not even one tinge in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami for his personal benefit. So whatever is being described here, right, is not just, you know, kind of hyping things up. It is not hyping things up or for Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's benefit, to meet his purpose, to meet his needs. This is for our benefit. So therefore, right, we should be very serious to the core of our heart to hear these pastimes and chant these pastimes. I try to question myself, you know, what can I do What can I do to really accept these pastimes? How can I stay awake? My first problem is staying awake in class, right? How can I stay awake in class? So I try out different things, right, while I'm in class. Sometimes I look at the deities, right, hoping that they will give me some mercy and I'll stay awake in class. But then while looking at the deities, I fall asleep. While I'm looking in that direction, some of you may be thinking, this guy has so much love for Krishna. But actually, I've fallen asleep, right? I've actually fallen asleep. Then I have my notebooks, right? Try to write some notes there to try to kind of keep awake, to kind of really, you know, see what's happening here. I try to make out what's happening, try to understand like this. Then I have my phone. Then I have tried to bring some commentaries, some books. So we can all look at ourselves and see what we can do to help us to really accept these pastimes, receive these pastimes, and then take shelter of, or simultaneously, knowing the magnanimity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees, right? And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, right? His compassion for us, his love for us, right? Knowing all of these things, we can call out to Krishna, call out for devotees' mercy, their help. So we can all think about that. What can we do? How can I improve my hearing? How can I improve my chanting, right, of the holy name and also the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? We're continuing on. This last verse that we just read, text 26, this really concludes the pastime with Chand Kazi, right? With this Phalastuti. Now we're moving on to the next section in this chapter, text 27 to 46, right? Pastimes that took place in Shiva's Angan. Pastimes that took place in Shiva's Angan. Big chapter, a lot of verses, but up until text 46 from now on, from text 27 to 27 onwards, we'll hear about various pastimes that took place in Shiva's Angan. Okay? Everyone still with me? Right. Shiva's Angan. Shiva's Angan, yes? Shiva's Angan. Okay? So what is Angan? Shiva's is a dearmost disciple of, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah? He's said to be Narad Muni, sometimes also as Prahlad Maharaj as well, he's referred to. Right, or sometimes said that both Prahlad Maharaj and Narad Muni combined. I don't know how that works, but sometimes it's described as combined incarnation of both of these personalities. So Shiva's Thakur, pastimes that took place in his Angan. Okay? Angan, any ideas, any thoughts? Huh? Courtyard. Angan is courtyard generally. But sometimes here Srila Prabhupada has translated it as his house, his home, like that. Okay, just as we say, you know, in our home, right? I was at my home and last week I did my garden, right? So home is part of your garden, like that. So Shiva Sangan, home. So his garden, his courtyard, whatever is connected with his house is referred to as Shiva's Angan. Shiva's his courtyard, right? Like that. Shiva's Angan. It's interesting in this particular verse, it'll be coming up very soon. The term Mandira is also used as well. Mandira. Shiva's Mandir. So here, Shiva's home is not an ordinary home. His Angan, his garden, his courtyard. Yes? Whatever's connected with his home is not ordinary. In fact, he's referred to it, right, in Bengali text, is referred to as Mandir. Right, Mandir. A place, right, where one's mind can find peace. Mandir. Dhir. Right, Mandir. Right, a place of the Supreme Lord, place where worship of the Supreme Lord goes on. Chanting of the holy names of the Lord's, Lord takes place. So, Shiva's Mandir, Mandir, or Shiva's Angan. Okay, so let us read text 27. Okay, so Shiva's Mandira is mentioned here. One day the two brothers, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were dancing in the holy house of Shiva's Thakur. Okay? So Mandira, holy house. Okay. Continuing on, text 28. Translation. At that time, a calamity took place. Shiva's Thakur's son died, yet Shiva's Thakur was not at all sorry. Okay? Here, Shiva's Thakur was not at all sorry. So, of course, sorry is an expression of regret. But also, sorry, the definition, so another definition is given, it means feeling sad or distress. So Shiva's Thakur, after his son had passed away, he had died, there was no sadness in his heart. There was no sadness. He wasn't feeling any distress. Right? Or at least, right, he didn't want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, to know of his distress, of his sadness, like that. Right? So he was feeling sorry. Like, so this is what it means where it says Shiva's Thakur is not at all sorry. Now, a question may be raised, okay, Shiva's Thakur's son had died. Where did he go? Where did he go? Did he go back to Godhead? Right? Where did he go? So here, when we look at the Bengali words, right, so he went to Paraloka. Paraloka. Details are not given. Paraloka. Right, so paraloka means a world beyond this one. So it could be that he's gone back to Godhead, Goloka Vrindavan, right? He's gone to the Vaikuntha realms or the higher planetary systems. Paraloka means a locus, places beyond this particular realm, like that. Okay, so Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami does not give details on what is that paraloka, and also Srila Prabhupada does not also elaborate on this. But paraloka we know, loka, right, this particular place or any place, and para means a place which is transcendental to this place, like that. Okay? Okay. Text 229, translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused the dead son to speak about knowledge, and then the two brothers personally became the sons of Shiva's Thakur. So purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarvinda, Bhaktivedanta, Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki. This incident is described as follows by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrit Pravaha Bhashya. One night, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with his devotees at the house of Shiva's Thakur, one of Shiva's Thakur's son, who was suffering from some disease, died. Shiva's Thakur was so patient, however, that he did not allow anyone to express sorrow by crying, for he did not want the kirtan going on at his house to be disturbed. This kirtan continued without sound of lamentation. But when the kirtan was over, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could understand the incident, declared, "There must have been some calamity in this house." When he was then informed about the death of Shiva's Thakur's son, he expressed his regret, saying, "Why was this news not given to me before?" He went to the place where the son was lying dead and asked him, "My dear boy, why are you leaving the house of Shiva's Thakur?" The dead son immediately replied, "I was living in this house as long as I was destined to live here. Now that the time is over, I am going elsewhere, according to your direction. I am your eternal servant. a dependent living being. I must act according to your desire. Beyond your desire, I cannot do anything. I have no such power. Hearing these words of the dead son, all the members of Srivas Thakur's family received transcendental knowledge. Thus, there was no cause for lamentation. This transcendental knowledge is described in Bhagavad Gita. Tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatrana muhyati, text 2.13. When someone dies, he accepts another body. Therefore, sober person, do not lament. After the discourse between the dead boy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, funeral ceremonies were performed. And Lord Chaitanya asserted, Srivas Thakur, you have lost one son, but Nityananda Prabhu and I are your eternal sons. We shall never be able to give up your company. This is an instant of transcendental relationship with Krishna. We have eternal transcendental relationship with Krishna as his friend, as his servants, friends, fathers, sons, or conjugal lovers. When the same relationships are pervertly reflected in this material world, we have relationships as the sons, fathers, friends, lovers, masters, or servants of others. But all these relationships are subject to lamentation within a definite period. If we receive our relationship, if we revive our relationship with Krishna, however, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our eternal relationship will never break to cause our lamentation. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gnananjana Sailakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpa Tribhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patita Nam Pavnebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rupa Vilas Prabhu was meant to actually give class. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. So devotees approached me and audacious as I am, I said, yes, I will try. So with your blessings, I will try to share something and may need your assistance as we go through the translation purport and the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his dealings. So, translation once again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused the dead son to speak about knowledge. And then the two brothers personally became the sons of Srivas Thakur. Okay. So in these pastimes, specifically this pastime, and then also with Chand Kazi, and also how the devotees also assisted him in terms of approaching Chand Kazi and just being, the devotees also being with him throughout his dealings with Chand Kazi. And here we're specifically hearing the dealings of devotees, specifically Srivas Thakur, right, how he's dealing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How he is very careful about dealing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How he is very, very sensitive. How he is concerned that he does not disturb the chanting that is going on. How he is concerned that he does not disturb also the focus of the devotees on chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we're hearing of Srivas Thakur's love for the devotees. we're hearing of Srivas Thakur's love of for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, by his carefulness, right, by his sensitivity around the devotees, by his sensitivities around the holy name, and specifically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His concerns for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're hearing about, from how Srivas Thakur is responding to this incident, we're hearing about the love he had, right, for the devotees, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the holy name. And because he had so much love, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocates with him in such a way. Right? How does he reciprocate with him? He says, you've lost one son. Right? You lost one son. But myself and Nityananda Prabhu, both of us, will become your sons. So, not just equal replacement. Right? Not just equal replacement. In the material world, at best, right, you would get equal reciprocation. Right? Between, when there's a relationship between husband and wife. Right? The wife serves the husband serves the wife. And then, you know, if there is equalness maintained in that relationship, there is reciprocation accordingly, then the relationship continues nicely. Otherwise, there is separation, there is divorce. We know like that. So this is the material realm, right? So whether it's husband and wife relationship, whether it's friends in the material world, like this, whether it's children, right? Sons, daughters, and parents, right? There is equal, generally equal reciprocation. The parents take care of the children, and the children, right, they took care of me, so they feel obliged generally that I should take care of them. My parents took care of me nicely, my mother took care of me nicely. Now she's getting older. So the children feel obligation. Maybe not so much in Kali Yuga nowadays. Right, but generally, at least children who are brought up in a pious background, in a pious culture, that environment, then they feel a natural obligation to look after their parents as they grow older. They stay with their parents. Right, they stay with their parents. Right, to make sure, right, that they're not lonely. Right, they give that support, and in return, those parents can give that wisdom, that spiritual knowledge to their children, right, who are growing up. Right, so natural reciprocation is there. Parents take care of the grandchildren, and the, you know, the children of those parents take care of them. So generally speaking, there is equal reciprocation, right, in the material world. Sometimes at best is equal reciprocation. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of so much love that Srivas Thakur has for him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that you have lost one son. But to make up for that, both of us, myself and Nityananda Prabhu, will become, both of us brothers will become your sons, like that. And of course, here we have not just these two personas, they are not just ordinary living entity, ordinary sons, but we have the Supreme Personality of Godheads, Supreme Personality of Godhead, like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna, Lord Nityananda, Balaram. Yes? Vasudev and Devaki maybe were not that fortunate to have both the personalities as their sons, or at least to kind of be around them. Right? Immediately they had to be passed on to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Yes? And then also Balaram, He said that he's the son of Rohini. Son of Rohini, not Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, like this. So we can understand the fortune of Srivas Thakur. We can understand the fortune of Srivas Thakur, that both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say to him that we will become your sons. Right? So you don't, there is no loss for you. There is no loss for you. We'll take care of you. We'll be your support. You have so much love for us. So we'll give ourselves to you. Like that. So when we engage in devotional service, when we have such a love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this is the reciprocation one can receive. Not on equal level, right? But much, much more greater. Beyond what we can imagine. Beyond what we can estimate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying there's nothing to worry. Both of us. And not just for now. Not just for now. Eternally. This son that you had appeared to you, and then after a few years, because of some disease, he passed away. But eternally, we will be your sons. Right? So this is what we can get. This is the result of engaging in devotional service. When we develop love of Godhead, right? The Supreme Lord gives himself to the devotee. And it's interesting, probably Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu spend more time with Srivas Thakur, right, than Sachi Mata. Right? The number of times they had these kirtan programs, the various pastimes that are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the various dealings that are there. Yeah? Such is the result for pure love of God. Such is the result of being so sensitive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, needs of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Caring, loving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when we engage in devotional service and as we progress in devotional service, right, there's gain, 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 gain. There is no loss. There's only gain. And gain we can never imagine. Beyond our imagination, beyond our calculation. And so this is what we can learn from this pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reciprocating with Srivas Thakur's love. Right? And he's so, just as Srivas Thakur, is sensitive about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels, he doesn't want to disturb Srivas Thakur's ecstasies. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more so, is concerned about how Srivas Thakur must be feeling after the passing away of his son. And therefore, immediately, not only me, I'll become your son, I'm your son. No, Lord Nityananda also, and eternally will be your sons. I think Srila Prabhupada actually speaks about it at the end of the purport, that this relationship is eternal between the living entity, right, and the Supreme Lord. So this was the rasa between Srivas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was their relationship, right? This was their rasa, parent-child, like this. This is the eternal relationship between Srivas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want to read certain parts of the purport, and then we'll maybe have a few minutes for questions and answers, or comments and corrections, and also chastisements. There's a lot of things we can speak about here. But I'll just pick a few because we're limited with time. Okay, I'll start from where it says Srivas Thakur was not so patient. Okay? So Srivas Thakur was so patient, however, that he did not allow anyone to express sorrow by crying. So this is Shivas Thakur's home. He himself, right, is holding himself, you know, his feelings, right, his sadness, his distress. But at the same time, because this is Shivas Thakur's home, he's also making sure anyone else that knows about this event does not relate it to others who don't know about the event. Right, and do not, this message, this knowledge should not go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Again, highlighting how sensitive and careful Shivas Thakur is. Right, for the devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also, how much of an amazing, hospitable person he is. That my guests, they're in my home, they're engaged in devotional service, I should not disturb them. I should not disturb them. Right? Their chanting should go on. This program should go on. Like this. So not only himself, he's holding himself, but he's also, you know, making sure that others also don't, you know, kind of leak this knowledge that his son has died, right, to the others who don't know. The kirtan continued without sound of lamentation. Right? So it's not only just knowledge, right, not just making sure that no one tells, but there shouldn't even be any kind of expression on one's face. There shouldn't be any sounds like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should not be disturbed. Devotees should not be disturbed. The chanting of the holy name should not be disturbed. There should be no sound. This is how careful he was. This is how careful he was. But when the kirtan was over, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could understand the incident, declared there must have been some calamity in this house. When he was then informed about the death of Shivas Thakur's son, he expressed his regret, saying, "Why was this news not given to me before?" Okay. So it seems like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was engaged in chanting the holy names with the devotees. And he somehow at the end of the kirtan, he kind of expresses himself that there's been some calamity. How comes I'm not informed of this knowledge? So it seems like what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not know while the kirtan was going on. If he did not know, then we know that Krishna is all-knowing, past, present and future. So how can he not know? Right? And if he knew, why didn't he stop the kirtan immediately? Right? And do some, you know, begin to do something about it and console Shivas. Was there no compassion in his heart? After knowing that, okay, I'll wait for the kirtan to end, then I will go and approach Shivas and say, you know, why did you not tell me before? Why is he even asking that question? So these are some questions that may arise. And it seems like someone ordinary that, oh, okay, kirtan stopped and okay, now, okay, let me think. Oh yes, there's some, you know, bad omens, there's something bad happening here. Oh, what's happening here? Right, like almost like an ordinary person. So, to reconcile this, we can say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew. He knew. Soon as the son had passed away, and there was some lamentation from Shivas, and then Shivas was holding back, not to express to anyone. So he knew. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew. How can he not know? Right? How can he not know? So then why did he not express immediately? Why did he not stop the kirtan immediately? Right? So, to allow Shrivas, right, to express his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the Supreme Lord, for the Holy Name, for the devotees, to glorify Shivas Thakur. Otherwise, how would we know the greatness of Shivas Thakur and love Shivas Thakur had for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, and the devotees? And how cultured he was in terms of making sure that the guests are not disturbed, right? The people that have come to his place are not disturbed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew, but he let it carry on, right, to see how Shivas Thakur would react. How would he deal with the situation and thus glorify right? And to spell it out to the devotees, how much love Srivas Thakur has for him, has for the devotees, has for Lord Krishna. Like that. Therefore, almost kind of like innocently, and almost ordinary-like, right, at the end of the kirtan, there seems to be some problem here. Right? It doesn't seem right. And he may have even looked at the faces of some of the people and may have seen something. Right? From within, you know, he's kind of expressing himself. That, oh, from within I know this. But just looking at the devotees that were there, I can notice something. And then, almost ordinary, like an ordinary person, what's happening here? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me this is happening? Like that. This person's dead. Why didn't you tell me? Like this. So to enhance, right, to spell it out to us, how much love Shivas has for the Lord, for the holy name. How he's so careful, how he's so sensitive to the needs of the devotees, to the guests. How great Shivas Thakur is. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reacts in such a way. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interesting. Supreme Lord is not concerned about how others will think of him. He's not concerned, oh, other people will think I'm ordinary, speaking like this. They will misunderstand me that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord is not concerned about himself, just as Shivas Thakur is not concerned about himself. This is the definition of love. The Lord is not concerned about himself. Shivas Thakur is not concerned about himself. They're both concerned about each other. Right? There's not a tinge of contamination on each other's heart. And therefore we can see why the Lord reciprocates with Shivas Thakur in such a way. Okay? So then the Lord brings the son, you know, kind of speaks to him, and then the son kind of miraculously, you know, kind of gets up and starts speaking, right? Transcendental knowledge. Okay? I'll just read that part. And then we'll stop. So after speaking the transcendental knowledge, there was no cause for lamentation. This knowledge is described in the Bhagavad Gita like this. So then Srila Prabhupada gives the verse 2:13. Right? Tatha dehantara praptir. So, chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. Right? So there's different types of transcendental knowledge, or there can be different categories of transcendental knowledge. In chapter 4, there is no discussion of we're not the body. Right? We're spirit souls. So what's being spoken about in chapter 4? Especially at the beginning, anyone remember? Verses 1 to 10? What transcendental knowledge is given? Knowledge passes in parampara, okay. So we get to hear about how the knowledge, this transcendental knowledge is received, the qualities, yeah, what else? Yes, so we get to hear about Krishna. So we have transcendental knowledge, which is we're not this body. We have nothing to do with this material world. We're of the spiritual world. We're of spiritual nature. That's transcendental knowledge. But also transcendental knowledge also is Krishna, knowledge about Krishna. So in those particular verses, we hear about Krishna. And Krishna, he says, janma karma cha me devyam evam yoveti. Tattvata. One who knows of my nature. Right, and what is his nature? In just two verses he describes. One or two verses. That I know everything from the past. I can remember everything. Why? Because I have a transcendental body. Right? And that's number one. And number two, the second point he makes is that I appear by my own internal potency, where the living entities are forced to appear. Like this. So in these verses, we get to hear about Krishna. This is another type of transcendental, another aspect of transcendental knowledge. Okay? So, we have transcendental meaning knowledge which is beyond matter. So it can be knowledge about Krishna or knowledge which will t- take us beyond matter. So these are the two categories of transcendental knowledge. And therefore we have two types of transcendentalists. The devotees, right? Prabhupada says this in various places in the purports. The devotees are one type of transcendentalist, and those who are also trying to seek liberation, trying to become free from this material world. And they have their various processes. You know, like that. Then Krishna continues in chapter 4 and he says, how one can receive transcendental knowledge in chapter 4. And then he starts speaking about performing sacrifices, if you remember. Right? And he describes various types of sacrifices. And there is interesting, it is Krishna says that one who understands the purpose of sacrifice, one who understands the aim, the purpose of sacrifice, right, can attain transcendental knowledge. So just sacrifice, doing sacrifice on its own, one cannot attain transcendental knowledge. One has to understand the aim and the purpose of those sacrifices. So this is very important. So it's not just doing austerities. It's not just doing yajñas, right? Taking up to various vows and so on. We must understand the purpose of them. The purpose of sacrifices is not sense gratification. Purpose of yajña, purpose of yoga, yoga indriya samyavya, to control the senses. Right, number one. Number two, the purpose of sacrifice is to go from the material condition to the spiritual condition. Right? And the third purpose of sacrifice is to ultimately engage in devotional service. So we have to understand the purpose. It's not just about engaging in sacrifices, austerities, charity, all of those things, taking vows. We must understand the purpose, and we should be making adjustments to meet that purpose. Right? So it's not, especially as Kartik is coming up, we're going to take vows. So it's not just about taking vows, doing something specific, doing something special, taking on something extra, but we must understand the purpose, right, and take steps towards that, to meeting that purpose. Otherwise, we will be inclined to sense gratification if we don't know the purpose. Therefore, without the purpose, we cannot attain transcendental knowledge. And when we talk about attain, we spoke about what it means. Attaining is not just, I know this information. Attaining means accepting, receiving to the core of our heart. Right? Like that. So here, in these past times, all the persons who receive this transcendental knowledge from this son of Shivas, right? They attained transcendental knowledge. They became peaceful. They became satisfied. They were no longer in a distressful situation, condition. So do we want to become peaceful, satisfied, happy, right? Free from miseries? Here is the clue. Srila Prabhupada is giving in the purport. And in this pastime, this is the clue. Right? Engage in sacrifice. Here, transcendental knowledge, know the purpose of transcendental knowledge, right? And in this way, become peaceful, satisfied, happy, free from distress, like this, and become like these devotees, right? Perfect devotees, who had so much love, like Srivas Thakur had so much love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as a result, there's no, he doesn't need to be concerned about himself. Right, it is said that he just needs to clap. Right? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocates. So then, in that stage, when we're perfect in our transcendental knowledge, then, right, rest assured, we don't need to care, we don't need to be concerned about how things are going to come to us, what's going to happen to us. Right? Our concern should only be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, the devotees. When that happens, when that concern is there, then rest assured, everything will be taken care of. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reciprocate. Here, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is relating to us. Definitely, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocated with Srivas Thakur. Not just very simply and very basically, right? More than what we could ever imagine. Right? More than what we could ever imagine. So this is what we have to look forward to. as we engage in devotional service. And we can come to that stage very fast, very quick, right? When we are sincere, when we go deeper into these pastimes, when we truly accept these pastimes, right, and really call out to the Supreme Lord, right? Really serve the devotees. When we are sensitive to the needs of the Lord, to the needs of the devotees. So read the verse once more again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused the dead son to speak about knowledge. And then the two brothers personally became the sons of Sri Vas Thakur. Okay. So also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also reciprocated with the other devotees as well there, by bringing the dead son life and then allowing him to speak transcendental knowledge and then others becoming purified in that audience. Right, like that. So when we do things in association, even though we may not be qualified, right, because of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, we may also, right, because of being in that association, we may also be able to, right, attain the same position as Sri Vas Thakur personalities, like Sri Vas Thakur, perfected beings, right, perfected devotees. Hare Krishna, I've spoken too much. Okay, maybe just 4 minutes and then we'll stop. Any questions, comments?